Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
Is that not the best intro to a song?
That is good.
No, it's one of the best.
Is that Simon and Garfunkel or just Simon?
Just Paul.
Paul.
So, stock nerds and market lovers, as we begin this week's excursion, this week's extravaganza, I had a whole show that I was going to play for you and orchestrate with Danny and Don, and so they don't typically know what I'm going to talk about. And then with
we never know what you're going to talk about.
And with Friday's sell-off, and the corona beer virus, I thought I would go in and Amazon's earnings. I wanted to go in a completely different direction, so I completely rewrote the show about 10 minutes before we started taping here on this fine Friday afternoon. So, and the first thing that popped in my head with where I wanted to go in light of Friday's events was 50 ways to leave your lover. And so hence the Paul Simon playing at the beginning here as I pull it down a little bit. And so what is the 50 ways to leave your lover? I in my head, it actually was playing as 50 ways to reduce your risk. And so what I have experienced, so there is a vast universe of stock nerds and market lovers, and I love you all dearly, and that's not that's not contrived. Let me explain. The ones that take, if you take the time, whether it's nice sarcasm, whether it's whatever it is you use to communicate with me, and I get it all on Twitter, or I don't get them anymore in email. Like I rarely get the snotty email from people. I guess they realize that it's easier to get a hold of me on Twitter that way. But however,
at TJ Razor. Yep.
However it is that you communicate with me, I'm glad you take the time to do so. I really am, because you're out there, you're listening. I think that agreeance is a very tough road, because you want discord in your court, meaning you want to hear other people's opinions. If you're all on the same side of the ship, eventually the ship
tips.
Yeah, it's just like the Pascal ratio. If everybody's on one side, be it bull or bear, the contrary indicator kicks in and the exact opposite happens. And so you want to be able to spot that. And I view that as a market risk to me. When everyone's in agreement around me, I'm like, what am I missing? Unless it's commonsensical, like keto pizza is better than anything Uncle Tony could make.
Ooh.
that is going to get his goat. I love Uncle Tony. Tony knows I love him. But he is not a fan of me desecrating pizza.
Uncle Tony.
Uncle Tony. I love him. I mean, if people knew the story of how I met Uncle Tony and Uncle Tony's generous heart, man, they would love Uncle Tony the way I love Uncle Tony. But Uncle Tony loves, when I tell you, his heart is big and he loves Marines. He is one of the best people you could ever know. But let's get back to Paul Simon and how to leave risk. So I had a lot of people email me or text me or DM me on Twitter, the aforementioned Twitter, and tell me about their success at Amazon. And I rarely will do this show, the one I'm about to do, because all it makes me in my head feel like is a wet blanket. Like I'm the person who's going to rain down on your parade. Marsha of the Brady Bunch.
You're the Debbie Downer.
Well, Marsha. You know, like it feels like that in my mind, where, okay, you got lucky on Amazon, but let me just give you some context, because I am happy for everybody that made their year on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that did. Mm-hmm. And I don't begrudge any of that. Well, Tim, you sound like you begrudge it. No, I held my Amazon.
We've got it.
Yeah, I've got it. I want to be clear. This isn't any kind of grapes, be it sweet or sour.
Are there sweet? Just sweet and sour grapes. Sweet and sour. And sweet yet, and sour pork.
And yet you can't get that at a Chinese restaurant. And so I want to just go over the different ways to reduce risk, because I know in my heart that for every Amazon you've had, that you've held, especially options players, mm-hmm. that you've held calls through, and we're at the start of earnings season, we had a huge week. Next week will be a big week, and the following week will be pretty big. We'll have more of these opportunities to work together through this, but I want to just give you some ways you can enjoy the earnings with options or stock, how you can find 50 ways to reduce your risk. I don't know if there are 50 ways. I'm going to ask Danny to count them out. I think there's like five, but
five really good ones.
But Danny and I were going over this just on a phone call. Like I had to go have an appointment on, I had to go pick up my daughter, take her to swim. And so Danny's like, hey, how do you want to? And we've had preliminary discussions. This is how it works in the shop. Tim, what are you thinking about earnings? Well, this is what I'm thinking. And we have our rules. You know, let me do that. Let me review the rules real quick. Stock has to typically have a 10% gain. Okay. And hold on. I'm going to go over the notes to it. The question is, do we have a 10% gain in the stock? If the answer is yes, and the market's not falling apart and the chart doesn't look just god awful, then we're most likely going to hold it through the earnings. Now, do we have less than 10% gain? If yes, if the answer is yes, if you checked the yes box, tell me what the expected move is. Okay, are we inside of that expected move? Meaning, do we have like a 6 or 7% gain and the expected move is 5%? Well, okay, well then, and does it look good on the chart? If the answer was yes to those questions and we have more of a gain than the expected move, we're very quite similar, there's a good chance we'll hold it through the earnings, because if you understand the bell curve, and that's not me being insulting, a lot of people don't think about the statistical math around markets or the options market, or they don't understand how the earnings options are priced and how that drives a lot of the volatility and the action surrounding the binary stock, event that is earnings around the stock. And so you have about a 70% chance of staying within the bell curve when it comes to, this is a good show for just off the top of my head, Danny. It's probably our best show. And so you don't understand that 70%.
Sounds pretty good in your head, does it?
F yeah. Probably not as good as it's being interpreted. But anyway. So you have about a 70% chance of staying within the bell curve of earnings. So, okay, so if we'll use Amazon. Amazon was what, $57, $61 expected move, or was that Tesla I'm thinking of?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What was the expected move of Amazon? It was either 51 or 61.
It was high. It was pretty.
It was high.
Yeah.
And so I think it was, Amazon or Tesla was 51 or 61. Either way, just use the number. And so there's a 70% chance that the stock is going to stay within that number, mm-hmm. whether it was 51 or 70.
Right.
And so, great. Okay, well, what do I have a gain? I had a 6% gain in Amazon going into the print. Looks good on a chart above the 21. 6% expected move in either direction. So, you know, 70, someone gives you 70% odds in life, take it.
And it's good stock, leading stay up.
Yeah, take it. And so, what you don't want to say is, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst that can happen is you get a 4x expected move to the what?
Downside.
And that has happened. And what's the best that could happen? You get a 4x greater than expected move to the upside. That's the best thing that could happen. If you have stock, this makes it pretty easy. Okay, well, I can only sell after hours if it's a complete disaster. Or I can wait till the morning and see what happens and see if it comes back in within the expected move. And then we gave up. The worst you did was give up 6%. Okay?
Right.
Potentially.
Yeah, normally, yeah.
Right. So I want you to just think about this, because I haven't actually outlined.
Well, within 6%.
So,
within 6% or less.
Danny, yeah. I don't know if you want to write these down. These are not going to come out organized. This is where the show comes off the rails, okay. Unfortunately. One of the first ways to reduce your risk around earnings is to understand what the expected move is, mm-hmm. of the stock. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do that, call us, 855 Real Wealth. Just call 855 Real Wealth or email dan@revereasset.com.
Expected move, biggie.
Understanding the expected move how to calculate it, and or interpret the information if it's given to you, and then factoring that into your risk assessment of, do you want to hold the stock? Do you want to hold your calls? Do you want to hold your puts? Or do you want to buy calls or puts? That's the first way you're going to understand the seriousness of the earnings. And they're not, every time is not the same. And so you'll see a lot of implied volatility figures, and you'll see the dollar figure that is the expected move translated. And so you can extrapolate that. If your platform doesn't give it to you, you can look at the how is the market pricing out the straddle, the calls and the puts, at the money calls and puts. Mm-hmm. Do the math that way. Or if your platform calculates it for you, it makes it even easier. Okay. That's one way to understand the risk around your earnings play. Next, size. Size is always your weapon in reducing risk. And so with Amazon, I had a 5% position in Amazon. And on days when it goes up $200, you wish you had 122% leverage on your account. And it was all
margin of the hill.
Yeah, and it was all in Amazon. But the reality is that I'm not banging out trades here. I'm not shooting from the hip. I've been trusted as a steward, not a steward, a steward, Danny Steward.
Steward's even better.
Yeah. I've been trusted as a steward of the life legacy of hundreds of clients, which means don't blow up their account. Mm-hmm. Which means I'm gonna pose a question to you centered all around risk.
So size matters.
I am so letting that sit
there. Yeah, I thought you would.
Yep.
That's good.
So I want to pose this question to you. Is the goal to get crushed or is it to make money? Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask it one more time. Is your goal to get crushed or to make money? Well, Tim, what do you mean? Nobody wants to get crushed. Everybody wants to make money. When you're banging out trades, just trying to make money, risk to the hilt, you end up eventually getting crushed.
It's great when it's trending up, but when it goes against you, you got to be agile.
When you have days like Friday and you don't have an Amazon in your hip pocket going for you, you end up getting crushed.
Face planted.
Yeah.
If you had a huge position in Facebook of right before earnings, ouch. Right.
And so what I'm saying to you is you need to be able to identify what your goals are. If you are quick to act and you're in and out and you're not thinking per se, you're operating based on rules, you're probably in the mindset to make money.
It's less dangerous. Still dangerous.
But if you are... because once you're in the move, like when the downturn starts really accelerating, it's hard to think.
Yeah.
Under
fire.
So without, I was going to do an aviation analogy, but in light of what happened last Sunday, I really don't. But there comes a point in an emergency procedure. I was a pilot in the Marine Corps for a great number of years.
Stock helicopters. Nerds. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know. And so there comes a point in the emergency where when it's developing, where you stop thinking. And you just start reacting.
Yeah.
And you're reacting on training. And so you need to be able to have rules to help you react. But what you do before you're ever caught in some kind of extremist situation is all part of your risk reduction plan. Mm-hmm. So far I've got understanding the move around earnings. Mm-hmm. Like, it's because some of you, not everybody bought calls on Amazon.
Right.
Amazon's been a laggard. You know they've been spending. And you thought they were going to get crushed with a K. And they didn't. And so you got blown out, whether it's stock, if you shorted it, or options are at zero. Yeah. And so that leads me to the next thing. The most risky thing you can do. See, because a lot of you want, you want all the gains without any of the risk. You're living in a fantasy world. That seems like a song to the title, I don't know. And so, but it's a huge fantasy. You want the free lunch, and there is no such thing. And so, if you want to reduce your risk, don't buy calls and puts around earnings. the people that win the most, think 70% of the time, are the people that sold them to.
Market makers.
The market makers. Now, what happens is you get an Amazon situation and it lulls you, or Apple, and it lulls you in. Outside expect, you know, double the move that was expected or more, and those calls are on fire. They're like the doors, fire, right? And then before you know it, you're like, okay, everything's like this. And then you start playing a couple other stocks like Facebook and whatnot. And then before you know it, Bob's your uncle. And you get kind of blown out. So you want to be really careful and cognizant of that. And so if you find yourself, well, I'm really bullish on XYZ stock, buy the shares. Well, Tim, I've got a multiplier. I've got options. I've got leverage. Look, I can't tell you to don't act on your hunch. And if you got the feeling for the flavor of a Pringles, then what I want you to do is buy one.
It's more than a feeling.
Yeah, buy Boston. That's a great group. I want you to buy one call or one put and just do it. But when you start leveraging up, you're taking, in my opinion, undue risk. Tim, you are. How old are you, Tim? I'm 44. You sound 64. Yeah, because this is the thing. I've been entrusted to grow people's accounts with the least amount of risk. If I wanted to be balls to the walls, there's a number of ways to leverage up. Calls, out of the money calls, no intrinsic value, all extrinsic. Like, there's a number of ways to leverage up the old portfolio route without care. But I care. And so you should too, because I know a number of you are trading your own accounts. And then what happens is you missed the move. Like, if you missed the move, you got the FOMO for Amazon because you didn't participate. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim, I've been listening to you for 5 years since you've been with Danny. And let me tell you something. I missed Amazon because of you. But how many did you not lose on because of me, right? Mm. Now, keep in mind, if you were with us, you participated because we still have Amazon. Again, we still have. By the way, to give you an idea, I have not really been counting how many ways do we have written down to reduce risk?
We've got, sometimes bigger's not better. There size go. Matters. Right. Expected move. So we got two.
That's it?
You keep talking about, yeah.
Oh, wow. Feels like I've said more than that.
well, that's you.
Okay. So let me get into one of Uncle Tony's favorite instruments for investing, ETFs. And so,
for those of you just new joining us, that's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek sarcasm.
Tony does not like ETFs.
No, and individuals.
But I get his. Let me use us as an example. So going into now with Amazon's move, what do I have? We have like 15-18% gain in Amazon, and we bought it. But by the way, we bought our Amazon position on 12.5. Of last year.
Yeah.
We're not new to the Amazon game here.
We've traded it a few different times over the years.
Oh, yeah. I'm not afraid to sell it either. And so 12.5 was the last entry. But right before 12.5, what did I sneak into? I snuck into XLY. So I want you to hear the progression of these two trades. So I saw something on the charts of Amazon that I liked. And so the easiest way for me to get a pilot position in something is to find the ETF that has the most of something that I like, unless it's just screaming at me, Tim, buy me now. That's your setup. That's your go-to. And by the way, not everything's a go-to setup, okay? There's a couple setups that I really look for, and when I find them, I strike. I'm not really sure feeling, I'll sneak into the position.
That should be a song too. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, like I'll sneak into it with an ETF. And so on Thanksgiving, like right before the 26th, was that the day before Thanksgiving or the Friday after?
I think Thanksgiving was late this year, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It was the 26th of November, or maybe it was the 25th, XLY, which is 23% Amazon. So I snuck into Amazon on November 25, 26, okay, through XLY. Okay, how's that position? How's Amazon shaping up? And then on 12/5, I go in and I buy Amazon. And so I want you to hear my position size. And so I've got a 10% position in XLY, and now I've got a 5% position in Amazon. And so that's 15% exposure to consumer discretionary is what I was looking for there. And so I'm fine. If we run, great. I've got my pretty much 15 to 20% is my maximum risk I want to take in one area at one time. Sometimes I'll be heavier than that, but it's rare. It's just rare. It's unnatural for me to want to be
And by the way, when you're talking about risk, right?
Go ahead.
So that XLY Consumer Staples, mm-hmm. its biggest position, like you said, is Amazon. It owns 23% Amazon. That's a big position for an ETF. Normally they don't go that right. big, but Amazon is such a big player in that space. It's trying to get a kind of based on that consumer discretionary.
It's priced too.
Yeah. And so it's 23% of that portfolio. Right. So going into earnings, we're looking at it and we're saying, you know, with the 5% outright,
well, let me get there. So okay. the next way to reduce risk is to, this is the one to write down. Mm-hmm. If I didn't give any more, ETF is a risk reduction technique. Mm-hmm. Instead of individual stock. Like you could have said, okay, I don't want to hold Amazon through this earnings print, but I do like it. I'll take my shot with the ETF.
Where you got more stocks, a little diversification. Yeah.
Or if it was our case, what we did was, and Dan, I'm sorry to cut you off. You were just going where I'm about to head. What we chose to do is trim XLY down to 5% and keep our core Amazon position. So that left me with 10% exposure to consumers, the discretionary consumer.
But it reduced our Amazon to about 7.5.
Yeah.
Right, 7, yeah.
And so I'm okay with that. Like, I'm very comfortable with that risk. If the move went totally against us to the downside expected move, I've got a flat position, and if it needs to be sold, I can sell it in the morning. If it goes with us, you know, within the expected move, great. It adds a couple points to the gain already. But if it does what it did on Friday, wow.
It really helped.
Yeah, it totally helped. And so
markets just got
right.
Well, hit on Friday, yeah.
And so there's a number of ways you can attack this. And so, but a lot of you, you're not thinking about it. And I wouldn't expect you to. That's not me chastising you. It's just you don't even think of some of these ways because you're in the fight. Like you're going to work, you're potty training your kids, which is exact. Man, I send Danny and Don pictures of me potty training them with Remy.
Yeah, we don't need to see him every day, by the way. You can do it like once a week, every month.
No. I'm putting a whole catalog together of Remy going to the bathroom in the back of the car.
Are you just keeping a folder of those so you can bring them out later to embarrass him?
No, I tell you what. So we have
that is a bonus. Don't
we
lose
have the, yeah, we have the toilet, the training toilet,
the porta potty.
Yeah, the porta potty in the back of the car. And so I just open up the back of the SUV and let's go, man. Because you're on it. Like when he says I got to pull over, like I don't say, okay, well, we'll get there. No. He has no way. Like he's not. Although I think he's fooling me sometimes because he
wants to hang out with Daddy. And he knows that if you go and drop him off at daycare, you know, he's working that.
So he's got the peeing part
taking
down.
His time, and you're giving him a paper to read, right? While he's
giving books, yeah.
Do his business.
Yeah, yep. Stand back there with some coffee, watch him go to the bathroom mm-hmm. while he's reading books.
He's not reading. He's thinking. He's letting you think he's reading. So, he's watching the trucks go by.
Yes. So anyway. Although you know what, you're right because
he's watching the trucks go by. He loves trucks.
We pulled into the racetrack. He goes, "What's that truck, Dad?" Like it was a 10-minute conversation about what that truck is.
Right.
Yeah. It was raining the other day when he was doing it. I'm like, dude, we need to get going. But I feel bad, like, because if he doesn't, you know, if he hasn't finished or whatnot, it's a lot of anxiety around the bathroom. So anyway, so the other way to reduce your risk here is if you've got a large position. So a couple people wrote in to me. One had 20% position in Amazon, or a relative did. One had the five
calls.
Or six calls, and a couple others wrote in with some position sizing to me, and I'm mentioning those two because they're friendly with me. They won't they'll know.
Well, congratulations, they did well.
Oh yeah, and so but the other way to reduce your risk, like if you got the shares and you realize it, just buy some at what you want to do is this is specific stock nerds, buy out of the money puts at the expected move.
In case it surprises you.
Right. So how does
because they'll be cheap. It's a cheap way to hedge.
It'll be a cheaper way to hedge. Sometimes the puts are still... Listen, puts are always going to cost you more because people are afraid of the downside. I want you to remember that. So puts are always going to cost you more no matter what the instrument is because more people are afraid of the downside than they are of the upside. Does that make sense, stock nerds?
Yeah.
And so you're going to end up losing some of that money. If the stock stays flat, which is great for your core position, if the position were to go four times against you, you're protected. At least you can you can hold on to your core position. Like maybe
you're protected for the three. You give up the one, but the two, three, four, you got insurance.
And maybe your position in Amazon isn't from December 5th, 2019. Maybe it's from January 5th, 2000.
Right.
And so you're looking to protect it, and you probably know how to do that.
So you pay the deductible, but you still got it for the big big claim.
Yep. And so that's a great way to look at it. You should write that one down. Pay the deductible. So whatever you just said, write that down. It's probably something we should use in the future. So anyway, there's a number of ways you can do this. Now, look, if you are bearish the stock, just do the opposite. You can have a short position. You can have a short position, and then you just buy the calls. Just rework it to your advantage or your protection. Now,
you know the easiest way to do that if you're bearish? Just sell.
Just sell. Yep. And I want to take advantage of the downside.
If you're more aggressive.
Sell calls. Sell out the money calls. Absolutely. There's a number of ways to attack it. So now, I want to tell you something. So the paper that I know and love, Investor's Business Daily, has the worst earnings strategy around options, okay? I used to just skirt around it. Now I'm just telling it to you. Because they don't do anything to tell you about implied volatility, intrinsic, extrinsic. They have nothing to say about the most important thing surrounding options around earnings, which I believe is ignorance, not they're holding back. And so I guarantee you someone will show this to them, or, hey, you need to listen to what Tim said about you. And they'll start changing their tune. And I hope they do, because they're doing their readers and their listeners a disservice by not discussing this or pointing it out in the gnat's ass detail that I'm about to do. And I've done this for this is no secret, stock nerds. If someone from IBD is finally listening to this, God bless. But I know you listen, so it's cool. But now, but more and more people are paying attention to what I have to say. And so you'll probably get pushback. So now I'll just spell it out for you. Because you're not doing this to the people that are following your earnings strategy. They'll tell you to take a percentage, you know, like don't take any more than a couple percent, maybe 3 or 4% of your overall position and play it with options. People that are unfamiliar with options, okay? Now, there is some onus here on the end user, okay?
Sure.
Like, because I'm about to say, well,
like, don't do something you don't know anything about.
Right. But if a reputable paper is instructing you how to do it, you think you know something.
Right.
Right? At least I would. And so
they're tough to do until you've done them a few times.
Yeah. And so it's not a small percentage of your overall position that you can lose on the options. I want you to look at it like this. You're going to lose up to 100% of your premium paid.
Yeah.
So if it's now, so which is different, like, than just owning stock. And
you got to be right on timing.
My options traders are going, no shit, Tim. But the people that don't do this normally, especially around a lot of the IBD stocks, have illiquid options, okay?
Right.
They're not all Apple and Amazon and Facebook.
Right.
And so they don't quite get this part of it, that, okay, a 6% loss in Amazon is just 6% off of your core position. You know, so if you had $10,000, take 6% away from $10,000.
Right.
If you took a 3 or 4% position in puts because you were bearish on Amazon, you lost 100% of that 3 or 4%. And when you buy calls and puts the week of earnings, when you buy calls and puts the week of earnings, you're paying more than what you should be for those calls or puts.
Premium, big premium.
It's no different than you drive, you go like, you know what? I need a cheap and expensive vehicle, so I'm going to get a Ford Festiva. Ford Festivas cost $20,000, but you, Joe Swashbuckler, shows up to the lot and you're a bigwig and you're going to pay $50,000 for that Ford Festiva. That's what you're doing, in essence, when you buy calls or puts the week, a couple days before, a stock like Apple, Amazon, Facebook, high volatility stocks are about to report. It makes it that much, the higher the implied volatility, the higher the premium, it makes it that much harder for you to win on the upside or the downside.
You got to be more right.
You got to be more right
than expectations.
You want to find stocks that have low implied volatility. Well, Tim, what? Give me the number. Tell me what's low.
Or buy them a few weeks before earnings. Buy them before they wrap up.
Buy them for the run into earnings. Yeah. Right. 3 weeks is typically my go-to. Which, by the way, they're not telling you at IBD. They're telling you week of, okay?
They're telling you the Friday before.
Not even that.
Or Monday.
When the paper comes out over the weekend.
Yeah. Like, well, that's true. Yeah.
So.
Well, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. By the time it's published, it's too late. Like, I think it's too late. Well, I get it. If you get a pullback and you get them cheaper, and okay, you're looking for a lot of things to go right there. So what you want to do is either start it early, meaning 2.5-3 weeks prior, and understand that the options that you buy, whether they're calls or puts, aren't going to lose a lot of premium because the implied volatility is going higher. What is that implied volatility number? What is that supposed to be? It you're paying more. If the implied volatility is twice the normal IV, they're juiced. But if you're just, you know, like 10-15% higher, it's no big deal. You can probably execute that strategy and not have it be disastrous. But look, the other thing too, which makes options really dangerous, is they get really cheap as they're priced based on how US consumers shop. American consumers want a deal, and we're optimists by most of us are optimists by nature. Most. So when you see out of the money, believe me, the market makers know how to price out of the money calls that are, they look in your mind reasonable that, well, Amazon could get that high, and they price them at a level that makes it attractive to your mind. And they've got a 70% chance of winning against you. When you buy calls or puts around earnings, you've now flipped the odds again. You have a 70% chance of losing. Well, Jim, you're saying I got a 30% chance.
Let me define my Tim Turpert on. What you're saying is you can be right on the direction, you can be right on the thing, but you overpaid, so you weren't right enough. So when you say losing, 70% chance of losing, you can be right in your idea, right in the setup, right in the move,
right?
But you overpaid the premium.
Exactly.
So it moved as much as you thought, or even a little more, but you paid too much, and it didn't reflect it in price after it happened.
Yeah, and none of this is explained, and so you don't know what happened, and you're like, oh my gosh, I was right. It went up in price, And you still lost, or you didn't make anything, and you close it out with fees. You close
broke
it out.
Even, yeah.
Yeah, and you have no idea why. And it all has to do with the implied volatility. And you have to kind of, you don't have to be gamma, vega, but you do have to understand a little bit of what theta represents, the deterioration over time of your calls or puts. You do have to understand that a little bit, or simply put, the people that make the most money, the word consistently now appears, is those who sell. So if you sell at the money puts because you're bullish on something, you got a 70% chance of having that thing expire within the expected move, and you'll actually make money.
Right, but it comes with more risk.
No,
if you're wrong, you get the stock. If you're selling naked options.
No, I'm saying it's a spread.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I just want to clarify.
I never sell naked.
Okay.
If you're selling a vertical put spread or a vertical call spread, let me put it that way.
Got it.
Yeah, you're fine. You've got nothing to do if it goes, you know, you sold call.
Then you're quantifying your risk very defined. It's very defined.
Yeah, you take in a credit, and if it works, you keep the credit, and you move on to the next trade. And it's just one trade in a series of many. And so, which goes back to that phrase in itself, one trade in a series of many. Well, when you take that approach, okay, well, this one trade isn't going to define me. It's one trade in a series of many. And so I don't have to have 50% of my account in XYZ stock. I can have 10 or 15 because it's one trade in a series of many.
So don't get married to any stock.
Yeah. And if you're like, well, I'm a long-term holder, great. Use longer-term moving averages, but be okay with it. A number of people just aren't okay with the inherent risk that comes with the market or comes with when things go against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't hear from many of them. Like the people that will text me. And this isn't meant to be ugly. This is why I don't like to talk. This is why I haven't done this show probably in 2 years. because I want to interact with you. Like, I really enjoy it. But trading, you have to understand the psychology of trading. It's so solitary. You get lonely. You have no one to commiserate with. Very few of your spouses understand anything or the pressure or the loneliness that can come with it. Just the
Lonely
sheer...
Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah, like, just the sheer, like you're flying into the unknown because it's a market and anything can happen. And so you want to reach out and you're looking, and I get all this. And so when you want to celebrate, I want to celebrate with you. When you want to commiserate, I want to commiserate with you. But what happens oftentimes is I don't hear from the people when I know something probably is going against them. And I think that's dangerous. So like when we have a losing trade, Stock Nerds, there's something that I do right at the beginning of the video. I talk about our losses. I do it right up front. I do it because I want you to understand that we take losses too. And some of you are going, well, no kidding, Tim. Of course you take losses. Yeah, but to put it up front at the beginning of the video and not bury it, or worse, not talk about it at all, would be such intellectual dishonesty that I couldn't fathom not doing it. Not every trade is going to work out, okay? And the people that, and by the way, this, have I done enough ways to reduce risk? You got a list over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not every, listen, I have a really strong belief. I'm going to take this now into conviction, okay? Go ahead. You got something to say?
Well, real quick. So, and this is a true story. You know what's kind of funny? When we, you know, you get randomly audited about every 3-4 years, mm-hmm. which is a good thing in our industry, but we got audited the first time, and so they want to know your marketing and what you're putting out there, and like, and so I said, well, we don't have any. I don't send out brochures or flyers. I don't right. believe in them, but we do have a radio podcast. We did, so you know, people keep up. She goes, oh no, I've already, before we even came in, I've listened to you 3 or 4 times on your podcast. She goes, I actually kind of enjoyed it. She goes, you know what's actually interesting? You guys actually talk about your losses. She goes, almost every other advisor we ever come in contact with, all they do is tout their winnings.
Yeah.
They only talk about their winners.
Yeah, and I think that is such a disservice to you because it doesn't get you in the mindset. Now, look, that also kind of gets into conviction. So I've got a conviction right now with the stock Beyond Meat, BYND. I think it's the Tesla of meat, and I say that jokingly, but it's so hated by so many people, and 46 to 48% of the float is short right now. And so, by the way, on a day like Friday, the shorts are right.
Right.
But all it did was come down to the 21.
Right.
Still a bullish chart, okay? So I'm still okay with Beyond, but I want you to understand that just because you have conviction in something doesn't mean you have to hold it through the really hard times. Tesla has broken many a heart on the upside and the downside. And so if you're okay to get out and let the trash, you know, let it pass, whatever's happening to it, let it pass, you're going to be fine. And then if you're okay to get back into it, I'm going to give you the metric to use to know when to step in and step out here in a second, Stock Nerds. And then Amazon, people forget the several times Amazon has gone down 90 to 97% from its value in its value
early
to all,
on, yeah,
yeah,
early
to,
on,
yeah, to be this great stock. Everybody said Amazon, like come on, at the .com implosion, not many people were saying that Amazon is going to be long.
Yeah,
you know, like as pets.com is imploding and, you know, just a whole bunch of other things are happening in that space. No, it really hard to find the Amazon takers, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have conviction on something like Apple, Bill taking a position in Apple and coming out of 08, it was 09, it was January, it was in Buffalo. I remember getting a call from Ted and he says, Bill's in Apple. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And Ted had to explain it to me. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's okay. I mean, do you know how right? I mean, billions. I mean, just
lots
right.
of money.
Yeah. And so what a trade. What an eye. And so like, get it. And so I'm going to give you the thing here that's going to help you stay even keeled, even though, and anyone who listened to the podcast last week knows this effect. I won't even eat Beyond because I don't eat soy. Like, and I don't eat the ingredients that make up, that don't make up the burger or the meat. But I do like the mission, you know, and I do like how hated it is. It's so visceral. Like, there's no in between. Like, I feel like I'm the only in betweener. Eh, take it or leave it, you know, but everyone else is love it or hate it. And I love going on Twitter and seeing the people touted on both sides. And then I like sending out just, they're not even cheerleaders. It's just like, I just try to present it as fact-based, and I like to see who clicks on it. Like, it's,
you just want to put a little like bait out there. Just, okay, you guys discuss.
It's fascinating to me. It absolutely is.
But either way, if it breaks down, we'll.
And if it breaks down below the 21, it opens up the door to the 50, and you have to step aside. But that doesn't mean you can't get back in. Mm-hmm. And so, Tim, what would constitute getting back in? Well, a close or two above the 21 gets you back in. Okay? And so, you got to be willing to do that. You know, like, I have this conviction that I think, you know, because I've just seen it with Tesla, right? I was a little too young to, I mean, I'm 44, but I wasn't as in tune with how hated Amazon was. But I was in tune to see how hated Facebook was in 2012 after it IPO'd. And I've seen this story before, that when it gets to be one side of the boat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're gonna—I get it. You have fans on both sides, you know, haters and fans and detractors on both sides. But this—that when you're shorting 50, I mean, they could be right. I mean, almost half the float is short. It takes the risk reward is great to me above the 21 to stay in it and see if the kindling gets ignited to burn the shorts, because you've seen that play out in 2021. I almost put it at 2021. You've seen that play out enough times now. In stocks like Tesla, in stocks like Amazon before. And right now you're seeing it in Peloton, which is really hard to borrow. And you're seeing it play
out. Borrow the shares, yeah. Short.
And face Tesla is the most shorted stock in America just a couple weeks ago, probably still is. And you're seeing it, I think you'll see it, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, play out in Beyond Meat. And so, but a way to reduce risk in something you have conviction in, which is really what I was trying to tell you, is use the 21 exponential moving average. A close above it warrants your attention. A close below it warrants your attention. And so you need to be able to take action around that 21. That's kind of the Mendoza line, to use a baseball analogy. And so I highly encourage you to have your convictions. Do all the research in the world. Tell me every reason why X, Y, and Z is going to happen, because you've been studying the charts and you've been researching the news and you've been listening to X, Y, Z pundit. But then just know the ultimate arbiter is going to be around that 21 exponential. And look, if it hits the 50 day and it bounces right back up through the 5 and the 8, you know what you could do? Buy it. And so it really does become that easy. And so I just hope that these words help you. And so I hope the things I was going to do today, I'm going to do another show, which was stress testing and how there's three funds that own all the shares in the world and a whole bunch of other.
No, numbers. I think this much better.
Yeah. More apropos.
With Friday, nobody's going to care about that. They're going to want to know exactly what they need to do. And, you know, look, you know, this week, normally, because all the companies and the analyst sandbag and stuff, normally earnings are going into earnings that first week or two of earnings, it's pretty bullish. But you got this scare about the coronavirus, the overhang. So it's really earnings versus coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, which one's gonna win or take the investor psyche. Like you said, investing is 90% psychological. Well, does that coronavirus fear put enough scare into the market? I mean, that was Friday. That's why Friday sold off.
And then the start of the month. Look, if Don and I in the shop and Danny have been discussing that, is this going to replay like the beginning of 2018, where you had this great January and then the market just fell apart?
Yeah,
could be. If you take out the words coronavirus, and you just go, oh my gosh, is this a repeat of 2018? Yeah, you want to be really cognizant of that. And then you got the first couple days of the month coming up here, which they typically set the tone or the trend for the market. And that's when the first several days of money gets put to work. So you want to see what, like, it's just an interesting market of what's holding up. Amazon's holding up right now. Tesla's holding up right now. I like Beyond Meat as long as it's above the 21. I like those types of stocks. I don't think you want to get too bullish or too bearish. I think this, though, did knock the complacency out of a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. And you got everybody paying attention now.
And the best indicator for that is the put-call ratio, okay? And so put-call ratio is climbing. that's a contrary indicator. Everyone bears up for the weekend. If nothing happens or the situation gets better and the news is good, you could see a rally ignite. If it gets worse and more extraneous events,
it certainly can accelerate.
Yeah, it can accelerate. And so have an even keel, which is easy to say, hard to do. And understand that the 21 is one of your best tools in your arsenal on a chart to just gauge it. And if you're the kind of like, well, I'm a buy and holder and I've had Amazon since the IPO to 97. Okay, well, you're using your trading plan, and just enact your trading plan. I'm just describing, I don't know your trading plan on the other side of this microphone. And I don't pontificate that this is the way you should do things. Mm-hmm. Like I don't preach and say, this is the way it should be done. I'm just talking about my mentality around the stocks that we own. Because the truth of the matter is, no matter who you are, you want all the gains without any of the risk. So my job is to try to extract gains with minimal risk. That doesn't mean it always works. It just means that that's what I'm tasked with to do. If I wanted all the gains and all the risk, we'd be a passive shop. Because that's what you get. No, that sounds like I was trying to be sarcastic. But all the gains with all the risk mm-hmm. is called an index fund. Mm-hmm. That's what passive investing is. And so...
That's a good one. I like that.
But it is. But it, like when you say, I want all the gains without the risk, well, what you're saying really is, I want to develop a skill set that allows me to sell if the market's going to really puke. If you're saying, I'm going to take all the gains and I'm going to hold all the risk, you, my friend, are a passive investor. And you need to be okay with that. But a lot of you, and I love you, you don't even think of it like that. And I want you to. And I think that'll help clarify a lot of your decisions.
Well, it is important because, listen, a lot of people say they are.
Yeah.
But when it really, really hits the fan, they hit their pain threshold and they say uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
So like in 2008, people finally hit it at 30, 35%,
yep.
and they sold somewhere near the bottom and never got back in, or got back in yep. after it came okay. way back and missed half the gains on the way up.
Yeah, and so, and you don't have to catch the move on the way down. Just be willing to buy back in.
You don't have to catch all the gains. As long as you can miss a lot of the bottom.
Yeah,
I mean all of the downside.
You don't have to short the market.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just, if you can...
Move to cash,
reduce risk.
Cash is another risk thing.
Yeah,
we didn't have that, Tim.
No, cash, we didn't have that. Cash is a position.
Well, I guess sell and cash are the same thing.
Yeah. All right. I think that's good. Listen, that's a lot in this show. Go back. If you want clarity, or you just want the list, or you want to talk about items on this list, call Danny this weekend, 855-REAL-WEALTH. I swear to you, we answer the phones when you're available. Send your questions, send your emails. If you want us to review anything, whether it's in your personal portfolio, your parents' portfolio, strategies moving forward for the rest of the year, just call, 855-REAL-WEALTH. It's easier to call. We'll never abuse the relationship, meaning we won't take advantage of you giving us your personal information and spam you. We don't operate like that. But don't sit in darkness. That's the worst thing you can do.
One other thing you could do if you want, you know, Tim gave you a lot. It's like drinking from a fire hose. Another thing you could do is you can go to our website and you can. So Don did a video.
You send it to him. Instead of
Send it to him. Yeah. And he goes over the all the bear markets since 1968.
How to spot them.
How to see them, how to see when they start to break. Mm-hmm. So you don't sell at the very top. Nobody does.
Yep.
It starts to roll over and you see when it starts to accelerate. He gives you some very defined metrics that you can say, you know what? This could be a very, very dangerous time. I need to get out. And he's got rules to help you know when to get back in.
Right. And so just call. If you can't find the link on your own, it's easier if you just email Danny, dan@revereasset.com, or you can email don@revereasset.com and ask him the questions if you find the class and you want to watch the class.
Yeah.
But if you can't find the class and you want the class, just call us, 855-REAL-WEALTH, or dan@revereasset, and we'll be more than happy to send you the link.
Hey, real quick, Tim, who do you think's winning the Super Bowl?
I don't really care. It's not the Eagles.
Wow. Little bitter there. I think Kansas City and Mahomes, man. I love Mahomes. I love him.
No, I hope it's Andy Reid.
All right. All right, folks. Well, listen, if you like what you heard, please tell a friend, tell a neighbor. You can just go to revereasset.com, check out all of our work and all of our research. You can sign up for the Daily Market Insight, and you can also get this podcast delivered in your inbox. We won't ever spam you or reach out to you. It's up to you to reach out to us if you want a complimentary portfolio review or just have questions. You can email any of us at dan@revereasset.com, tim@revereasset, or don@revereasset, or you can call us old school at 855-REAL-WEALTH. We'll talk to you next week on Your Money.